section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. 3/4 of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Follow that, bitch.
Thank you.
Folks, welcome back to another episode of It Burns When I Pee. And on this episode, we have with us special guest, Husky Burnett. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. It's the first time we've had you on, and I don't know why it's been so long, so I apologize for that.
No big deal.
So the new album, Tales from East End Boulevard, is going to be your first release with Rusty Knuckles. How did you get to be joined up with that label?
It was kind of a, I don't know. It's a funny story. There was some miscommunication. This guy was an old booking agent of mine, was wanting to hook me up with trying to hook me up with Rusty Knuckles, blah blah blah. And he told me a bunch of stuff that the owner Ralph of Rusty Knuckles had said and was going to look into me and was really interested in all this. And it turned out to be one big lie. And it wasn't even true. And so when I saw Ralph last year at Muddy Roots, he was like, Husky who? So it went from there. And then so we both got interested in each other there in Muddy Roots, and it just happened from there.
So Roots Music has a lot of blues-fueled artists, such as Left Lane Cruiser and 10 Polecats and yourself. What do you think makes blues so appealing to the Roots crowd?
You know, I don't know. I guess the soul of it. I know for me, it's one of those styles of music that just makes you, cringe, but in a really good way. It's like just nasty, dirty. and just soulful, I think. Just having that soul. And that appeal, it couldn't be anything else, I don't think. Blues influences a lot, tons of rock and roll. So, there's that aspect of it, too. So
who are some of your biggest influences in the blues genre?
For post-war electric blues, I'd say Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf. For electric blues, post-war electric blues. Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, I guess. And, people like Ferry Lewis, as far as just, early one man and his acoustic guitar kind of stuff. Ferry Lewis was a big influence. I actually heard Ferry Lewis before I even knew who Robert Johnson was.
Awesome.
And so he was always huge, huge influence.
So being a solo artist, a lot of times you're on stage by yourself. Do you feel that you have to be even more meticulous in your guitar technique, since there's not a full band around you?
Well, I try to keep the full band at as many shows as I can. And really, nowadays it only pops up. Solo gigs only pop up when they have to, or when it's at the venue's request or something like that. But yeah, you kind of have to be. I'm not really a huge fan of playing my stuff solo by myself because maybe it's my ears. It doesn't really, sound right how it's supposed to be, but it's always fun to throw that in there. And yeah, you kind of got to be a little more meticulous. I feel like I'm always trying to fill holes.
Sure.
When I'm playing solo, you know.
So when did you first get into playing guitar?
I think it was seventh grade. I was, what would that be, 12? I actually started out playing drums and in a school band, and couldn't afford a drum set, so pulled out an old guitar that my uncle had given me years before that, and started learning from my dad and my uncles.
So what type or what style or brand of guitars do you own that you use most?
Right now, either Epiphone or Ibanez hollow bodies, and also I just made this deal with this guy out of Ootawah, Tennessee. He's just a killer luthier. The dude's 19 years old and he's building guitars like he's been doing it for 20 years. And the name of the brand is Diamondback Stringworks. And he just built me a Telecaster model, and it's smoking. It's my number one guitars for live shows right now.
And how do you pick the guitar that you're going to use for a song? I mean, do you have particular sounds from each that style of guitar?
Really, it's just whether it's in what tuning it's in. I find a guitar that I like for whatever tuning. Really, it's only standard tuning and open G tuning for slide. And just you kind of just find that guitar that you like. For me, accidentally, just on a whim or whatever. Like, I had a guitar break on me last year and ended up just going out and searching the music stores and found one that fit. You know, it felt right. That's usually my number one for whatever tuning.
So what is the significance of the album's title, East End Boulevard? Is that a real place?
It is a real place. It's the my slang name for the place. It's just an area in Chattanooga, East Chattanooga. It's a really, really bad part of town, basically. And I spent some time there years back. And I don't know, I wrote a song about it and just titled it East End Boulevard instead of just a snazzy title or whatever. And we were going through all the songs, the titles of the songs to try and find an album name. And me and Ralph from Mercy Knuckles and J.B. Beverly, and we just kind of settled on that because Ralph likes the, just the story behind the song kind of thing.
The new album was recorded at J.B. Beverly's Rebel Roots studio. And how was it having J.B. help produce the album, and what did he kind of bring to the development of the album?
Well, mainly he brought just that extra set of ears that a producer brings, you know, like me or whoever's playing with me as far as the band can only take it so far to where the song's written. What else can I do to it? Do I have time to do anything else to it before I have to go to another show? And just, you know, and the extra set of ears, him and Buck Fairfield on the studio and run it, and both of them in there just being like, why don't we try this? Why don't we try this? Just expanding on what I've already done, what I've got written and set in stone. Expanding on that and trying new different things. And the experience up there, though, was amazing. Like, it was really good. I mean, they put you up for a week and you stay there at Buck's house where the studio is, feed you and house you and stay up there for a week and just hammer it out and get things done. It was a great time. And JV really, really brought a lot to the table as far as those extra set of ears and just, you know, let's try this. If it doesn't work, cool, we won't do it. Let's try this. If it doesn't work, we won't do it. If it works, we'll do it. And he also played bass on the album, which I used to just do the two-man band thing. And that's it, no bass, unless there's this one place in Chattanooga that was, they're like, that's not a full band. You have to have a bass player. We're not paying you the full price, and you're not playing unless you bring a full band, and I have to have a bass player.
Wow.
So any other time, though, it was just me and a drummer, you know, two-man band, that was it. And, I mean, maybe two or three songs into it, we got everything laid down. JB's like, I'm hearing bass all over this. I was like, well, I use an upright player in Chattanooga at this one gig. So he said he would be down to come up. And he's like, no, man, I'm hearing electric bass all over this. What can we do? I'm like, try it, you know. That's what you're here for, is giving me ideas. So sure, let's try it. So he went and rented a bass and an amp at a local music store and threw it down on the whole album.
Wow. So what, in your opinion, what's the biggest difference between this new album and your last album, Face Down in the Dirt?
There's a few. I mean, the bass guitar, for one, electric bass on there throughout the whole album. That was a big one, because it just fills space and gives me a chance to kind of go off and do things that I wasn't able to do, on guitar, because I'm trying to fill in the space with bass and guitar. So it gives me a little more freedom. And then the production was just insanely better than the first album, Face Down the Third. I think those are the two biggest things.
Sure.
The appearance of bass guitar now and the production, that'd be the main two things.
So not only do you have a new label, you have a new album coming out, but you also recently got engaged. How are you? Are you involved very much in the planning, or is it all up to her to get all the details done?
No, it's gonna be 50-50. We're gonna be doing a lot of things. Making things and taking the cheap way out, because she's on Pinterest 24/7 with new wedding ideas. But I mean, we don't have a date set, none of that yet. So we're just kind of going through the motions and taking it slow.
Awesome. So, what are your plans this year, this summer, and into the fall for touring?
Well, let's see. The whole month of August, we're going to be doing a northeast run to Vermont and back. A couple weeks off, and then in September and October, doing a Midwest run. Then I think a couple more weeks off, and then going in November back up northeast, because when we get this time, the album won't be released yet. Won't be released till the last day of that northeast tour in August. So go back northeast in November, and then I think take all of December off for holidays, and then once January comes around, we'll do probably another Florida, New Orleans area, southeast tour again, and then go from there.
What area of the country do you see like the biggest following that you have? I mean, is there a certain area of the country that seems to be connected to your music?
Well, obviously around my area, the southeastern region around Tennessee, and also the East Coast, all the way up to, I guess, New York. Around New York, Philadelphia, from Philly up to, say, Rochester, right in between there. That's really become, that Northeast run has become my best run, and for, I don't know, I guess a year or two now. And which Florida, you can do a whole month tour in just in the one state of Florida. And that used to be my best run, but it's turned into the Northeast Coast run.
Awesome.
So, and I think that's the main reason we're going to go back up there in November once the album is released, so while we're still pushing touring the album.
Sure.
Go back up there and give them a chance to buy the album at the shows and all that.
So the most important question that we always do at the end is, where can folks go to find out where you're playing, and definitely where can folks go to get both the albums?
Okay, for the first album, it's on iTunes, Amazon, any of that, anywhere you can buy my music on digitally, online, it's there. And the new album, if you go to rustyknucklesmusic.com and go to the blog, there's a chance for you to pre-order the album, and it'll be for sale there as well. And as soon as after August 24th, it'll be iTunes, Amazon, all that. It's like 300 plus online stores.
Awesome.
Basically. And for the schedule, my schedule is always on the Facebook page, Husky Burnett fan page, just facebook.com/Husky Burnett. It's always there, or at ReverbNation.com.
Awesome. We'll set up links to everything on the show notes. Husky, it was great to have you on the show. Congratulations on getting engaged, and congratulations on the new album.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Take care.
Bye, man.
She like a grease in a frying pan. Long time to cook a crisp if she can. Frying up some hog jaw, fingers are burning. Grease so fine everywhere all over the oven. Granny fixing up some hog jaw, y'all come on now, baby. Granny fixing up some hog jaw, y'all come on now, alright.
Hello, I'm Christopher Walken. IBWIP is an interactive show. That means get off your asses and get a hold of us, baby. You can call into the show live or leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-203-429-4711. It's free. So dial it up now, I implore you. You can also email us with questions or comments at blake@ibwip.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to your Pia Vision YouTube page. Well, all the links are on the front page of ibwip.com.
Thank you. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.